This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy, Johnny G, standing 6'2", 301 pounds, putting on that holiday weight. We are, of course, going to be discussing that later. From the South Shore of Nassau County, Long Island, it's John Gabris. All you got to do is trust me. Jackson, Maine, from A Star Is Born, abortion is healthcare. Okay, great. Didn't we decide that we were going to try to find a new character to replace you? You did. Did I not do it at all? Yeah, of course not. You're fucking spent the last 8 days in an edible haze playing Baldur's Gate 3. None of your fucking business, Jackson, Maine. Also joining my mighty studios and my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabris. Arthur, give him a shout out. Arthur's actually in the High and Mighty Studios because my wife is out of town, the only time he ever hangs out with me. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, he's a returning guest. He's a funny ass motherfucker, and he has a new special out that sounds like a Robert Rodriguez movie. It's the blue-eyed Mexican himself, Shane Torres.
Oh, man. What an intro.
Well, I've got to get in the fucking hyperbaric chamber for half an hour and come back.
You got to put $1 million in your body every year like LeBron.
Yeah. Just to scream 30 seconds a week.
I just put $1 million worth of food in my body every year.
And at the cheap ass food I'm buying, it's a lot of quantity. $1 million worth of street meat is bananas.
That just be like, they would just like be like, a doctor would be like, you're just sick. Like for, if you had $1 million worth of street meat. You said that Robert Rodriguez thing. I've only blacked this out. I took a meeting with his company, in Austin a few years ago, and just general stuff, but he owns a rotisserie, like a chicken like place there, and they catered the meal, and they had like all the food was fantastic. And then the people at the end of the meal, like, you know, they took me around because he shoots a lot of his stuff down there. So like,
right, he's got like a full fucking studio, lab, and shit.
But I went to the Dust Till Dawn bar and saw a bunch of the Death Proof car and that kind of shit. So it's
awesome.
And they took me the meeting, and the meeting went fine. And they like catered it, and they're like, "Hey, do you want all this food? Because we eat it every, like, you know, we eat this like once a week. So if you want it, you can have it." And I left like a meeting with a huge director's company with a bunch of roast chicken and queso, and they never called. I feel like it was like a test. They're like, if this little piglet takes the chicken,
then we don't want to work with him. Greedy,
that's
fat
like
fuck.
That's like the Hollywood lingo. You know, like, right, what do they call it when you get into SAG the first time and you can like pass on the dues? You get a
FICOR or Taft Hartley or some shit.
Taft Hartley, yeah. Like they're like, that's like Taft Hartley. Like it's that kind of slang. Like, oh, did you hear about Gabris? Pig took the chicken.
Yeah,
He took the rotisserie. Oh man, he was so close.
He was almost desperado too. But you know what? That's a crazy ass test because if free food's gonna go in the garbage, I will pull it out of the garbage and take it with me in front of like. But
and also, it certainly is not a thing they even remember.
Right, right, exactly. If they remember me at all, for the rest of my life,
because until something goes right, and then in my mind the narrative will change and it'll be like, yeah, they were gonna work with me, but then I took some chicken, and they decided I wasn't good enough, and I was like, "Fuck them," you know, like.
Yeah, this is like 8 years on your WTF, and then it's like fact checked by the New Yorker, and Robert Rodriguez is mad at you and shit.
And then I put out a video that says I am not a psychopath or whatever.
It would be really funny if, like, in 5 years you're in a Robert Rodriguez movie, you're in fucking Spy Kids 10, they're grown-ups now or whatever, and you are like, crazy, huh? You know, coming, you still hire me after the whole chicken thing, and they're like, what the fuck? And then you realize you're a psycho for having thought about it for, like, the last decade.
But there's, like, a shot, it's at Crafty, they're serving roast chicken, and I see it, and I have a flashback, and that's when I blow... Like they're like Spy Kids,
blow it again.
Shut down to third lead, freaking the fuck out.
Oh man.
Oh god.
We're recording this on Boxing Day, and according to And I believe today is also technically Kwanzaa. I don't know much about the Kwanzaa holiday. I'm not going to do that. But imagine I started speaking. Hey,
I find if you don't know, it's best not to say a goddamn thing.
Hey, preacher, choir, brother.
About if anything.
If I've learned anything in my entire life, I've learned
Take note, podcasters of the world.
Dude, I've had to learn in my own personal life that it's like, well, you are right, but does it matter right now? And if so, are you going to dig in to be right or to like engage on this? I can't believe they're being hypocritical or like.
Yeah. Like what? How much of a battle do you want to pick? Like,
right,
or not even pick,
shit
but
all,
like.
With my family, with my loved ones, with like a barista. I'm like, oh that's funny that it's like 4:05 now, you know? And I'm like, just fucking get pay, tip, and get the fuck out of here, man. What are you doing?
Yeah. I did that with a barista like in San Francisco. This guy was like, actually, we don't take cash. And I was like, I'm pretty sure that's against the law. He goes, actually, it's not. And I'm like, it is. I was like, I'm going to pay with a card, but it is. It's like, this is money. You have to take it. It's not like I'm handing you a Confederate dollar. And I said that while I was trying to get a peppermint mocha. Like, yeah, having a holiday treat. And I like, and
I'm positive like, the guy getting a peppermint mocha doesn't have any Confederate bucks with
him. Yeah. Well, I just also just like, he was shitty. That's all it was the delivery.
Right.
Like,
right. And that's the thing I've
I know it's
learn.
Weird, but we don't take cash anymore. Like, right. Could have been, yeah.
Yeah. It's sorry. Company policy.
And I would pull out my card and be like, oh, why don't you take cash anymore? Here's the card, but I'm just very curious. But I was just like, you little fuck, this is the thing you're in charge of? I'll fucking wait outside this place for you. Like, I...
Dude, I have to, like, I'm like, oh, my wife, like, mispronounced this thing. And I'll be like, oh, it's actually blah, blah, blah. She's like, it is? And then I'm like, you know what? It doesn't have to be. Like,
yeah, like, and also...
And now I've made you feel bad, and now I'm, like, going for round two of, like, correcting you, and, like, now I'm, like, explaining why it's pronounced that way, and you're just angrier, and I'm not feeling better. I'm like,
and you,
that's how you say voluptuous. And it's like, yeah, that doesn't make me feel better.
Yeah, and you said it in front of a waiter, and the waiter goes back into the kitchen, and he's just like, you, this fucking guy out there talking
spit
to his
this
wife.
This guy's fucking burger.
Yeah, yeah, they're like, I don't care if this takes a fucking hour. Yeah, like, yeah, like, he just, yeah, I get so hot about shit like that, and then I'm like, this is truly,
it's kind of like
nothing, and it also means nothing.
It kind like of is
of the
like
time.
The podcast or comedy brain, if you will, where you're like, okay, let's dig in here and we can like riff and find something. And it's like, it might be a little aggressive, but.
Oh,
we'll
yeah.
Get
like
to
it's a little
fun.
Bit like a little bit of a breadcrumb for you to move something.
Yeah.
Or yeah. Yeah. I think that's probably because it's kind of a reactive muscle. So like
right.
You just like you would just do it.
Like, you so ever that have that, sense. Like, even when you're with friends who have thick skin and you're, like, I know, you know, our friendship, ball busters, everyone who's ball busting.
Yeah.
You ever, like, accidentally ball bust, like, you're in, like, you're just keyed up and you're like, yeah, well, why don't you tuck your dick between your legs and let your wife peg you again? And it's like, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, I came out way too strong or something.
Oh.
And you're like,
dog.
Even the friend whose balls you frequently bust is like, really, man? That kind of actually hurt. And you're like,
yeah.
Why am I swinging like this?
So. Like, and a jump. Like,
right.
Yeah. There's like an NBA player who came out and was like, I'm going to fucking stuff it down someone's throat tonight. And you're like, was this even necessary? A
right,
little bit.
Right. You're down 61 points. Just fucking
yeah, away. Yeah. Yeah. You're like, you're down 40 and you're like, ah!
Yeah, yeah. Take that, friend you're of like, 10 years.
Guy at AAU came to my mom's funeral. We did all those things together. God damn it. It's a, yeah.
The holidays, which is our topic today, is fraught with this for me. This year, I didn't go home for Christmas. I went home for like 2 weeks, for a week, 2 weeks before Christmas, which.
That counts.
Oh, by the way, right. I
did not go home.
Ooh.
But yeah.
Where's that stand? Because I went to the movies yesterday on Christmas Day with a buddy whose mom is like upset that he didn't come home. And my mom is like lightly upset that I didn't come home, even though, like, I can't dig in and go, like, do you understand, like, having a day to myself is not something I frequently get, so, like, if I have it, like,
yeah.
I don't give up.
Well, man,
and Christmas doesn't, like, mean anything to me. Seeing
my family
matters.
And also, 2 weeks ago is, like, it's preparatory, I think. Like, to be like that your mom would be like, oh, he might not come, but I get to see him here. Like, I don't know how much you have to give. Like, I text my brothers. That's like, I was like, hey, I'm not coming home this year. And they were like, okay. Right. And that was like, and that was it. And I was like, all right. Like, well, fuck you too. Like, I didn't even talk to him on the phone yesterday.
Oh.
I texted with him.
I got the passed around on FaceTime at the family dinner movie.
Oh, man, I would kill for that.
You just fucking check all the boxes in one. Hi, Auntie. Hi, Uncle Pat. Just keep passing me around. Yeah.
That's fuck it. My brother was like, I texted him. I took a nap and he goes, hey, what are you doing? I go, I'm just sitting here watching some ball and just like chilling out before I went to dinner with some friends. And he goes, okay, Merry Christmas. And I had the same thing. And I go, hey, well, like, you know, send me some pictures later of you guys eating. That'd be nice. No pictures. No, like.
My only request as a long distance uncle was I FaceTimed my brother who has kids before they started their full Christmas dinner and company because I love my nephews being fully like ADHD'd.
It's the best.
Worked up going, Uncle Manny, I got the Raphael with the size. Like, I just like list all your fucking toys. We got Mario Kart, 2 new controllers. You can use the pink one when you come if you want, Uncle Manny. Like, I want this fucking deluge of information. Like, stop. I love that shit.
Capitalism. Uncling is the best. Uncling is fucking rad, dude. Yeah, yeah.
Being an uncle...
Being a father looks horrible, but uncling looks rad.
Dude, being an uncle fucking rules. Becoming an uncle let me decide I didn't want to be a parent, too. Like, yeah. I was just like, oh, shit, this I'm getting enough juice off this, and there's, like, a little kid that I give a shit about out there. This,
who I adore.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then I'm like, I don't... But then after like 4 hours with my nephew, I'm like, man, you want to like chill? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, cool. Like, I don't know if I need to be responsible for this all the time.
I'd be like, wait, you can't watch a movie? Like, you don't have the ability? All right. Yeah, I can't do this.
That's like what, like, they don't sit still.
No.
Like, it's bananas.
You can't get them to sit still. Like, we tried to put on a show I was in, and it's only 20 minutes long, and I couldn't hold my nephew's attention.
They're like, what? I was talking with my nephew about like this. I was like, he has no idea, like, what timelines look like. Like, you know, I knew Casablanca was an old movie.
Right.
But I think he thinks Forrest Gump is the same time frame. Like.
Right.
Like,
really,
I'm like,
funny you said it. We were talking about this the other day. It's like, our generation, we had to, and because there was just less shit on, we didn't have as much kids programming. I like watched I Dream of Jeannie and like Gilligan's Island and shit that was just on TV. And I'm like, thank God I'm watching TV. If I put on
thank God I'm watching TV.
Right, that's all that mattered to me with any port
that is
storm.
That is a t-shirt. That's a podcast t-shirt. Thank God I'm watching TV instead of listening to High and Mighty. Like, you just put that.
Well, it's like if you come from like a fucking sort of toxic household, like the TV is like a good, like, if you're like, we could just, even my dad will sit silently for an hour and not like fucking yammer on.
Yeah, yes,
dog. Let's watch Jeopardy together. I don't give a fuck. Now, if you put on like, if you put on for a kid, you put on Parks and Rec, they would think it's like a fucking LP or something. Like, it's like,
it's wild. I'm like, you guys don't like length of anything? Like, you know, like, just doing this all the, like, their fingers are going to be worn out. Like, I feel like my nephew's pointer will be shorter through contact of a screen at some point in his life.
Yeah, and then have, like, that crazy, like, hunch neck thing going on.
Yeah,
like,
and phone bones, you know, that thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a real...
I found recently I've been on my phone so much that, like, my pinky is starting to feel weird because I hold my phone, like... Like this, you know, like
underneath
it to support it. Dude, my pinky has like a divot in it and it like kind of hurts. And I'm like, it's like, I'm so embarrassed how like, I'm like, I really wish I could lose weight. I wish I had the attention span to like read books again. I'm like, I really have all this creative work I want to do. And then I'll just sit and like look at Instagram stories of like, beautiful woman deadlifting, cute dog diving through window, beautiful woman
world's
spotting.
Strongest gay.
You're yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. I'm like,
I don't even know how to interpret that, but I will click on it. There's like a power lifter in rainbow tights.
World Strongest Gay is like ESPN.
It's a guy. I follow him on Instagram. He's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, like, yeah.
The amount of like muscle mommy related content I follow, I'm surprised I haven't been served.
Oh, God. I follow so much boxing content. Like, I'm a big boxing fan. And I follow so much of it. And like, some of it is just like these monsters, like, and it's the war. They're like doing this, like, front facing videos, and I'm like, you're a boxer, you're not a person.
Throw
who
some
needs
jabs.
Yeah, yeah. Do not be like, tell me about like
vaccines.
Like the yeah. Oh.
I have to like, follow like
some of them are not smart. Like, and no. I don't mean that like in a way. Like, some of them are just generally not bright people.
Yeah.
But they're
you don't
incredible
have to
athletes.
Necessarily be to be a good yeah. boxer. Like, yeah,
no,
yeah.
But they're like, and they're brilliant boxers. But I watch it. I'm like, why is this guy trying to convince me that Scarface is not a good movie? Like, you know, like, right. I'm like, this, what are we doing in this world? It's like the internet is like Christmas dinner with your extended family. Everybody's right. saying shit. None of it makes sense. And it's not real. It's a conversation, but nobody's talking about the same things.
Right. Dude, and great segue back to the topic, Mr. Torres.
I was trying.
This guy's a fucking pro.
I never even improvised. I just
this guy's straight riffing. He's on the fucking edge here. But yeah, dude. The older you get, the crazier holidays seem to like when once like I don't want to sound like greedy, but like once like gifts I couldn't buy myself were off the table, I was like, a huge family gathering sucks. Like, I'm sorry.
Once the problem is solved, you know, like, dude, I don't get it sometimes. I'm like, when people are like, I love seeing my family at the holidays. I'm like, I long for that in some ways. Like, I hope I meet a woman who's got a big family and like they all wear giant shawl collars and it's right. always snowing in Vermont, you know, right, like, in Christmas. Right. Yeah, I want that. I would love that.
And
like,
you got to sit down with the dad and the uncle and pretend to give a shit about the Patriots for like Thanksgiving or whatever.
Oh God, I mean, yeah. Heavenly. Yeah. Yeah. And just like, hey, we got it, you know, like, and then there's like one guy who's like, that's the dirt bag and him and I are going to get along, you know, yeah. like,
it's like, yeah. What would you talk to my Uncle Mike about that whole time? It's like, crap.
Found out you meet your wife's sister for the first time and you're like, oh, she's the hot one.
Oh, damn it.
That'd be horrible. Oh, man.
Yeah, it's like one of those things, like, also, so visit. I moved away from home very early, but when I moved to New York City, that was still only 45 minutes away from my mom. So it wasn't like too crazy.
But you weren't even seeing her every month, though, probably.
No,
right?
No, not at all. Because that's like, I couldn't. And they also couldn't, like, for some reason, couldn't make it out to Brooklyn.
God forbid they transverse water. Yeah.
Yeah. Or came to a comedy show that I did weekly for, you know, a decade or something like that.
Where are you? I don't know where to find you.
Well, how come you never come home to visit anymore? I'm like, how come you never come visit me? Oh, well, we're busy. You know, it's like, okay, me too, dude.
I couldn't possibly be trying to capture a dream. That's not right. hard work.
No. I can't possibly be having 41 1099s this year as I chase down 47 grand in my fucking second year of comedy.
Like, after expenses, I am far below the poverty line.
Right.
And this wouldn't hit a good rapper's dinner bill one night.
Yeah, I'm just like one billionaire's tip away from being back in the black. Like, I just need like,
like, that's what money looks like. Yeah.
But once I moved away to California, to Los Angeles, and I'm married, I got in-laws, and our brothers all have kids. So we're like, oh, we should go home and visit and see them because Christmas is magical with kids. I get that. But the thing about going home for Christmas now, and this is going to make me sound awful, hopefully none of my in-laws are listening, but when you go visit your family, your family's in-laws, all the other people who didn't leave town, are there. So now I'm there with my brother-in-law's father-in-law. Like, you know, like now it's like my wife's brother's wife's dad. And now I'm talking to this guy and I'm like, this is who I'm spending Christmas with? Like, not a bad guy, but I don't know him at all. And now I'm here. And now also the nephews who I came to see are so fucking juiced up because of Christmas, presents, dad.
And their screen-orientated lives.
Yeah, like, and two grandparents are visiting. It's like, they don't give a fuck about Uncle John. And so it's like, the second we went on a non-Christmas time, you know, like my wife said it. She's like, I don't want to be rude, but it would be nice when you drop 4 G's to see your family that they acted excited that you were there. And I'm like, oh, on Christmas, on Christmas, they're super busy. And like, it took me, like, empathy. I didn't understand. I was like, these motherfuckers don't give a shit we're here. It's like, well, they're making lasagna for like 11 people that are coming over. They're wrapping gifts the
There's
night
a
before.
Little bit of that. Like
I'm coming into their fucking world, into their, like, they've got, and my brother's like, you got to be here by 1:30. And it's like, well, dude, I have to do, but he's like, well, we're starting at 1:30. I'm like, oh, no flexibility for me, the guy who flew across the country. And it's like,
that's exactly
no, I have
how
a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old. And I'm like, oh, fuck, okay, fine. You know, it's very frustrating. So then when you go home and it's not Christmas, it, like, the holiday is Uncle Shane is here. And it's like, oh, that feels so much better. Like,
that is
worth
true.
Your value. Yeah.
That is true. But it's also like, I did do this too. Like, I understand you have a 6-year-old, a 3-year-old, and they take priority over me, like, on these holidays. But, like, know that, like, I'm going through something, too. I just want you to acknowledge it, that I, like, it cost a lot of money. Like, I truly would like that.
Like, I can't articulate it. Like, my mom's like, it's so sad that you're home alone for Christmas. And I'm like, Mom, I cannot get into how much I would prefer this than visiting family. And, like, because it'll hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
Because, like, it has nothing to do with you guys, but when you're a certain age, like, we don't really have, like, weeks off. We're recording on the day after Christmas, right?
Yeah,
now.
We always bury, like, it's always, like, we're not, it's kind of the same, like, well, we're on a schedule that we're on.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Like, yeah.
If I and I'm like, I got off work. These 5 days, I could use this for myself. I could use, like, one Christmas tip. Tiff and I, after a good year, we went to fucking Paris and Barcelona over Christmas. And we were like, why? And it was, you know, because that's like the only 10 days where there's not like necessarily a gig is going to fly down out of nowhere.
Like, that's the thing is, like, I had to be like, you know, when you're dating someone or you're married, you're like, all right, well, I'm open in March right now. So if we're going to do something, it needs to be here.
It needs to be here. I need to put it down. And I potentially, if I get a great offer, I have to.
Yeah, like
this.
If there's a huge check, that's also important.
Right.
And they'll be like, yeah, you have to be with understanding people for that kind of shit. Like,
right. So when Christmas time is that one time where, like, almost nothing is going to happen. Maybe you can get, like, you're a stand up. So maybe you can get a great New Year's Eve set or something like that. But frequently, no one's going to audition. There's not going to be a general meeting. So we took that time and went to Europe, and we were like, can you believe other breaks we were, like, sleeping in 3 different beds around the tri-state area and having to be around kids, getting up early and all this shit. And it cost, like, a little bit less. You know what I mean? Like, the flights.
To enjoy myself so much less.
And it was like, and we were like, holy shit, what we did was use our holiday to take an actual holiday, because visiting your childhood home and staying and reigniting, like, every single one of your, like, 18-year-old fucking, like, anxieties is not a fucking vacation, dog.
No, it's and also, like I'll go to the store. I need to leave this chaos. If somebody needs something, let me run the errand. And you're like, oh, Christ, I ran into Steve at the store.
Oh,
like,
dude.
Sometimes it's great to see someone that you genuinely like and, like, how are you? And then sometimes you're like, you are in a horrible position in life and I feel bad. And I don't know what to say or do.
Right. And, like, especially with, like, a little bit of fame, like, oh, I saw you on Bert's podcast. You know, like, they always know a little something about your career and you're like, no, thank you. Thank you. And they're like, I always thought you weren't that funny or whatever. You're like,
yeah.
Okay,
you're like, what is going on? I was home around Thanksgiving and I was doing shows, and then my nephew had a court date, So I was like, I'll go over to Dallas. I was in Dallas, and I was like, I'll go back to Fort Worth and go, like, sit in his court date. And as I'm walking up to the courthouse, I see this, like, skinny dude. He goes, Shane. I go, yeah, man. Yeah. And I was like, just thought he knew me. He goes, it's Josh. And I was like, oh, my God. And then I was
your
like,
nephew?
This kid, no, this kid I went to high school with and I hadn't seen in 20 years. And I was like, how you doing, man? And he goes, oh, okay, you know, I kind of fucked up and, you know, got caught drinking and driving. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that, man. No one was hurt, though. He goes, no one was hurt. And I was like, good. And he goes, yeah, but he was like, you know, I went away for 10 years. So, like,
somebody
they could really send me. You know, like, and it was like, he was saying, like, no, he was locked up for like 10 years, got out, was doing well, and then he got a DUI. And I was like, and he seemed like he was okay, which made me happy. Like, he seemed like he was like, I think I'm going to be fine. But it was like, I was just like, God damn it, dude. Like, and the amount of times I just didn't get caught making dumb mistakes being home. Like,
oh, dude, the luck of the fucking draw, man.
Oh, truly. Like, yeah.
Well, I think, like, my desire to get out of my hometown, even though I only moved 45 minutes to Brooklyn after college, I think, like, I escaped the clutches of, like, the hometown drama of, yeah. Like,
but you
well,
also moved
I might
to the
as well
biggest
DWI.
City.
Yeah, yeah. I live near New York City. That's, like, it's not outlandish to be, like, I don't need to get that much distance to get to something that's completely new. But
that's very
on Long Island, though, it's, like, fucking, it might as well be an international flight to get from Long Island to Manhattan.
Is it really that way? I mean, I've never spent any time on Long Island. So, it's like, is it really, like, separate to me? It's so crazy that it's that close.
There are people, there are people who just, like, you know, like, oh, we have a Thai restaurant here. It's like, okay, no, I know. But I'm saying, like, people
everything is on Long Island that New York has. Yeah.
Yeah. People fly from the far reaches of the globe to spend time in New York City. You have an $8 train ride on a Sunday. You can go into and see Manhattan. And they're like, it's crowded, it's busy, the homeless people, the weed smoke. I'm like, you smoke weed in your backyard? Like, any excuse people can come up with, it's like, oh, okay. And it's just like a fear of getting out of the small pond. Like, I'm already kind of a big fish. I'm comfortable here. And Long Island has, like, this weird pride to, like, be like, yeah, I don't have to go into the city. I got everything I need right here in my.
Yeah, room. They're like, yeah.
I got,
like,
two fridges full of Trulies. What else do I need? You're like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, like, because it's also like, there's a little bit of the cities, like, we are. There's the thing that would turn me off if I was from Long Island, so somebody being like, I am interesting because I live in New York City, which is the most exhausting person. Like,
oh, yeah.
Truly love the Long Island people way more than that person, but.
Dude,
like,
I was briefly that person, of course. Like, but then you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you gotta feel that way when you get out of Long Island. You're like, you don't even know in Brooklyn we have coffee shops you can walk to, you know? Like, And then it takes, like, your little brother to go, like, one time my little brother was like, roasted me. He's like, oh, you're in your coffee shop with your Wi-Fi? And I'm like, wait, am I getting roasted for using the internet? And he was, like, kind of weirdly right. Like,
just
I was like,
dogging
yeah.
you, like, you just like the life? So, yeah.
I was like, oh, fair enough. Yeah, you got me.
Yeah, there's
but there are those people who are like, I live in New York City, so, you know, it's like, oh, have you ever had this sandwich? It's like, I live in New York City, so, like, I eat great sandwiches all the time. You're like, oh, can you just be
please
a human
stop.
Being, please? Yes.
What do you do in New York City? I work 5 jobs, and I'm not really in pursuit of anything.
The idea that I live in the city should be enough for my personality. Oh,
yeah.
Not? Yeah, no. Sorry, brother.
Thank you for the picture of a bagel on your Instagram.
But I remember being like 3 years into New York City carrying fucking groceries in my hands like I'm doing a fucking world's strongest gay farmer's walk. Like holding all these plastic bags in my little like talon hands as my fingers are turning purple as I'm like 2 more blocks and I'm home. And I'm like, you know, the city does kind of suck for some reason. It's like where I came to. Yeah.
Dude, it's like that shit is like I was talking with somebody about this. Like, you know what it's like to have a car to get your groceries? And not have it be like an emergency condition on the subway where you're just holding mangoes and doing a tension exercise or whatever. Like,
right? Moving to LA, it was like insanely freeing to just have a car to be like, remember when we wanted to go to Connecticut and it was like 4 trains, 7 hours? Now I can just like get in my car. Yeah, and deal with traffic, but I can go in any direction I want to go.
Anything is fixable. Yeah.
It feels so like you feel so fucking. And look, I don't want to sound classist. I did it for like 8 years, but I never want to fucking use a laundromat again. Like going to a laundromat like in Brooklyn, you're like, this sucked. Like, I mean, I have coin-operated laundry off in my apartment building now. So like,
and you're like, this
like
is
one
better
step above. Yeah, I still gotta scare up quarters, which is like a bank. You ask a bank for quarters, they're like, we can't give any to you. I'm like, why? I'm fucking trapped here.
How is this? Yeah. I drop my laundry off now, and it's truly like, it's something, well, I'm gone so much. Like, what I do is I just like, when I come home from the road, I take my suitcase and I drop it off at the laundry. And I'm like, everything in here. And then I pick it up the next day and I'm like, well, this goes on a plane tomorrow with me. So I'm like,
these 5 Pantera shirts and these 2 pairs of jeans, please.
Pretty much. Pretty much, dude.
You know how I like it. Please don't shrink anything.
It's so dark. Like, oftentimes, the elderly Asian woman who runs the laundry is the first person I talk to when I get home, and she doesn't even speak English. She points at it and be like, there's a sign that goes blankets, and I go, no blankets. She goes, this detergent? I go, yes. And then she writes a ticket. And then even though they take cards, she can't figure out how to do it unless her grandson is there or her son is there, so I have to pay cash or I have like a debt to them. Yeah. It's
dude,
fucking what? I'm like, I love it.
You just mentioned something that made me really like, that is not to be like the city guy, but like I had this corner store by me that stocked iced coffee in the winter because I'm an iced coffee year-round guy. And in Brooklyn in the mid-aughts, they weren't doing that everywhere. Now you can, like, now every coffee shop always has cold.
It's impossible not to have it. Yeah, yeah.
Right. But yeah, these guys kept a pitcher for me, and they were like this great little like Colombian food market. And I would go there and I would like bullshit with the guy behind the counter, and almost barely neither of us understood each other. But like, I have like, you know, the comedy charisma of like, you know, you could just say something that sounds like a joke and you both laugh and it doesn't even matter.
And they're like, they'll do something like, they do something like, toothpaste or not toothpaste? Like, last time you got like, toothpaste. Yeah.
And then you like laugh with them and you're like, and I had that interaction like every day for like 5 years. And like you saying, like the first person, I'm like, I still haven't spoken to my mom as much as I spoke to the fucking, and that I moved away 10 years ago. And that that fucking bodega dude, I've had more interactions with than most of my family. Does that person know how much they are a part of like other people's lives? Like, that's so intriguing to me. This is a stupid New York story too. I was just home a couple weeks ago.
I kind of wonder that myself. Yeah.
Like the bodega guy would be like watching TV and be like, these 4 guys on these 4 different TV or 4 different people on 4 different TV shows I used to give coffee to every day for like 6 years.
And I've been
in your 20s, you're just paying for coffee every day because it just feels good to get out of your shithole time.
I mean, or you're doing it when you're my age. Yeah, I'm still
right,
doing
it's
it.
Still, like I said, still I, like, I, if I would have bought an espresso machine 8 years ago, yeah, I would save so much fucking money.
But that would mean I would have to clean it and know how to make espresso, and I can't do that. I'm busy being an artist by podcasting.
I'm busy being an artist. Actually, I'm busy mostly being a marketing agency for myself, which is brutal.
Yeah. You want to be in the shame biz or not? Yeah. It's wild.
Wait, we were saying coffee. This guy's a huge part of our lives. I forget now. Don't worry about it. I'm
four guys on TV. Four guys on TV that serve coffee.
These people are they're such a huge part of your, and then you just like move away. And that's like such a New York City thing. Oh, this is what it was. New York City story. I was seeing Gutenberg on Broadway with some friends a couple weeks ago. Yeah, I like to take in some theater. And a guy in front of me is just sitting there, a girl in the row in front of him, and he goes, "Alicia?" And she turns and goes, "Yes." And is completely like, I have no idea who this guy is. And he just goes, "I'm your barista. I know you." And she's like, "Oh my God, you looked familiar and I couldn't place it without the context." And she's like, and I'm like, this is such an exciting, like, you go to get coffee.
That's
so
the
much
best, dude. That that's the fucking best.
Yeah. And it is and it is like seeing a teacher at the grocery store where you're like, where do I know this person from? And it was
it's like weird. Like, you have a life.
And
like,
of course, the barista knows your name because they write it on the fucking cup every day.
Yeah.
And it's just such a funny, like, Alicia? And I was like, that is fucking beautiful, man. That made me happy.
It is kind of the best, like, when that shit happens. Like,
because LA never feels like a small world. New York will get you in.
Well, because you're actually walking amongst people all the time. Like, so you get it a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
LA, everyone's
on the train with someone who, like, you know, like, you could bump into somebody. You're just, like, in public enough that you're. The chances of,
and when you're in a community like comedy, like when you're in that kind of world, you get a little more, you just see a ton of people because you're like, you kind of all hibernate and live in the same places, you know, like,
right. And you know,
you're like,
you know,
yeah,
all the comics,
you're all
but
like,
then like,
if you don't know someone,
like,
you know
someone.
If you
do six theaters, yeah. If you know six clubs, that means you know six different sets of bartenders and servers, you know,
yes,
six,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
And if you're like, if you're a struggling comic, you're like, you have your day job and friends, and then you're like, I did do this this one job one time, and there's the five people in that writer's room. Oh,
yeah.
I met you. If you do a fucking stand-up show every night, you meet seven people a night. Maybe you know them all,
yeah.
But that's like, those are comics.
And then you know,
that's
you,
your water
yeah,
cooler.
And yeah. You know every manager there, and you go, and they always like, I'm looking for a place. Like, well, I know a guy who's got a place. Like, that shit
right.
Like really rolls out into your life. And you're like, how did I end up living here again? You're like, oh, that comic I didn't like was moving out.
Right.
And then he said, do you want
this
room?
I knew they had a good
like,
deal on a place. Yeah.
Yeah. And then like, I stayed in a place for a month and it had no window and it was like depressing me. And I was like, hey, I'm moving out. Like, and then like 5 months later, one of the guys I lived with for a month, I was on the train and I go, Carlos. And he goes, yeah. And I go, I used to live with you. And he goes, oh yeah. Hey. And then I never saw him again. Perfectly nice guy.
Wait, you're describing,
you know, like,
not to be king of the segue, but you're describing like holidays. Like, hey, remember I used to live with you for like 15 years, and your brother's like, yep. And you're like, all right.
Yeah. Didn't we share a room? Yeah.
Where do I know you from? You used to be.
And
smaller
I can't even remember. I can't even remember what the other roommate looked like. Like,
oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, I can remember. I remember one just because I ran into him that one time, but I can't remember.
And that was like 1 month of your life that you just crossed paths with two people that
really
like, you're like weirdly tied to them forever now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
that
so
was like
fun.
One of those things. I learned the lesson. You know, like when you're young and you're like doing the thing of like, well, the cheapest thing is the best thing forever because I'm young and poor. And then like I finally learned the lesson of like, no, I should spend $100 more a month to have a place to put my clothes. Like, yeah, like, yeah, like
wait, for daylight?
Quality of life is about, yeah, anything, dude. Quality of life
is valuable.
Just
to see daylight cost me an extra $75 a month. I'm going to accidentally lose that, paying the blanket charge at the laundry machine, at the laundromat. So I might as well just fucking do it.
Yeah. God.
Are there holidays
I couldn't believe it.
Are there holidays that were big in your family that, like, that? Is there, like, a tradition you miss, at least? Like,
I mean, I went till we were about 10 or 12, I think, like maybe 13, before my folks divorced, we would have a Christmas Eve party where their friends would come over and stuff. And we made tamales because we're Mexican, you know, so like that was like a really fun.
Weirdly enough,
I missed
the tamales and pozole tradition has spread outside of like, I went to like a white Christmas Eve dinner from people from Washington State, and they made tamales and pozole, and it was good, but I was just
it's
like
great,
this is fucking, I'm like, oh, that's an interesting, because Italian Americans, they do like the Feast of the Seven Fishes where you like eat seven
seafood. I just learned about that this year.
Yeah, it's so interesting.
Do you
that
know
like
what the seven fishes are for?
No, I don't. Did you learn that?
I don't know any Italian No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I know every Italian. None of us care.
Every we East just Coast, want the Galamad.
Yeah, every East Coast every East Coast Italian, I'd be like, this food fucking slaps. It's good. And I'm like, I'm sure it's amazing. What's the story of the seven fishes? And they're like, I don't know, some fucking great grandfather or yeah.
Right, exactly.
And like, but I'm like, I would love to know. And yeah, and then I watched The Bear this year, and there was an episode called Seven Fishes. And that was
right. That's yeah. Like a fucking stressful one. That one was triggering. That reminded me of my childhood for sure.
God, dude.
Like without the car yeah, driving I was like, in, but just the
I 100%
boiling
I was like,
tension through an entire meal. It's like
this is familiar, even though this is not what it looked like for me. Like this is like
right.
The feeling is like yeah. You're like, oh, I know this a lot. People,
I was like,
screaming.
Yeah, I was toxic trash, so I get it. Yeah, like that totally makes sense to me. That's why everyone's like, that was my favorite episode of the season. I'm like, I like the episode Forks, where the guy who seems like a dumb, like fucking mouth breather. Yeah, exactly. That one meant a little more to me than the one where the family dissolves on a holiday, because that I lived through. I'm still waiting.
You just go look
I'm
in
still
your
waiting
silverware.
For my Forks. Yeah. Yeah.
You just go look in your silverware drawer after, and you're like, huh. On the road to self-improvement.
Here we go. Starting now. Our show today is sponsored by Microdose Gummies. Microdosing, I'm sure you've heard about it. All sorts of people are microdosing daily to feel healthier and perform better. Microdose Gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. Now, I know I have a big tolerance, but for me, the microdose gummies are amazing. They taste good and they feel good. I've been doing the nighttime ones, just grab a quick handful before I brush my teeth, and it just really helps me. Like, I do all kinds of stuff to try to make myself sleep better, but the microdose gummies work. I take a couple an hour before I want to go to sleep and like right before I brush my teeth. One is a microdose, you know, and it helps you wake up feeling not too groggy because it's easy to like overdo it. With THC before sleep, it's not great. So microdose gummies are making my sleep better, and I don't have all like my back pain, all that stuff. So I highly recommend you get on the Lumi Labs microdose gummies. They're available nationwide. To learn more about microdosing THC, go to microdose.com and use code MIGHTY to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. Links can be found in the show description, but again, that's microdose.com, promo code Mighty. Do you struggle to save money every month? With Rocket Money, you can quickly identify all of those sneaky subscriptions that keep charging you month after month and cancel any you no longer use. It's such an easy way to start saving money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions and monitors your spending and helps you lower your bills all in one place. We found out we were both paying for, I shouldn't say any specific companies, but we were both paying for a streaming service, me and my wife. So we were double paying and still not even using that much. So we definitely canceled at least one. With over 5 million users and counting, Rocket Money has helped save its customers an average of $720 a year and $1 billion in total savings so far. Got me $8 a month back. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and manage your money the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/mighty. That's rocketmoney.com/mighty. That's rocketmoney.com/mighty. rocketmoney.com/mighty.
Is Christmas the big holiday in your house?
Yeah, it's sort of like it always was like, but my parents worked jobs that sometimes required them to work on Christmas. So it never felt
yeah, my
like
mom was true. A nurse. My mom was
my
a nurse,
mom's a nurse too.
Sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
She actually just retired RN? From nursing. She was an RN for a long time. She just retired from nursing.
People.
But my family is like nurses and teachers. And I'm just like, I'm so happy. Like, that's what no one's like, you know, cops or firemen. This is the direction that my family.
Yeah. Like still in service of the community, but by,
right. But yeah, I don't want my brother to have a gun. Like, I just don't think he should have one. I just know him since he was zero. I don't think the dude should have a gun. I think
being a
nurse is
bananas,
perfect.
Dude.
Yeah.
hold on. So your mom's a nurse.
My mom's a nurse. She just recently retired. Yeah, and I'm so happy that like my brother got
how many years she do?
She did nursing. Fuck. Because she went to nursing school and started nursing when I was like 12 or 13, I remember.
Oh, wow.
That's when we got, because my mom was a dental hygienist first. She never went to college. So she went to college when I was like a adolescent. And she would have like study groups made up of like, you know, dumpy, weird nurse ladies over the house like every day. And that's when we like class jumped. I like have all these distinct memories of being like, we're a super poor family, and then jumped to like middle class when my mom got a career. And it was like, also no one was around anymore in my family. And it was just like feral kids, but we also had like PlayStation for Christmas. So it was like, I didn't give a shit.
Okay, for sure. Yeah.
But they are such good people. But go back to tamales and tamales on Christmas Eve. That was like, did you guys have any other physical traditions?
We would make them. Like my grandparents had like a 150-year-old family recipe or something like that. That died with them, by the way.
Abuelita.
All their grandkids are half white, so like no
they
one.
You guys didn't deserve it. Yeah. They refused to be colonized even by their own family.
they were in my grandfather in the same hand. That recipe went down the same hand my grandfather liberated France with in World War II. Like, but they just didn't. Like that was like the big thing I remember. And then midnight mass, like we were raised super Catholic. So going to midnight mass, which to me was always such a fucking chore. Right. I think it's romantic in a way now in the sense of.
Yes. Now I have like an understanding of like when
church
in Rome.
Is so boring.
It is so fucking boring. And like it's crowded on Christmas and we have to go down. Oh, we're going to the downstairs to the basement mass. That's the one for kids. Oh, is it at all interesting and made for kids? No. Okay. It's just like the lesser priest is doing it. Like I remember the first year that my wife came home for Christmas and she's like, I'm like, Tiffany's not really religious. And my mom's like, well, she should still go. And then eventually we like wore my mom down to the point where she's like, all right, we started planning. Her family's not that religious. So we started planning like, we'll come down to you guys the day after Christmas. My mom could see that we were just like avoiding going to church.
It's like- dodging church. Oh, it's like, this is truly something I never understood is like people who go to church and are filled up like with good after.
Makes no sense to me. I'm happy that it happens.
Like when people go to church and are like, and I'm truly not mad about it. I'm not trying to make fun of it. I just have never felt that way in church
neither.
where I feel like great, like bless him. You know, like I don't.
Yeah. I'm a straight heterosexual white, boring ass guy, and I never felt welcomed in church whatsoever. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I never felt like there was a moment that it was like, and this might be interesting because of blank. And like, you're Mexican, I'm Italian American. Like, the Catholic fucking the heavy hitters.
I'm Mexican Irish. Yeah,
right? Yeah, like, you got a bunch of choice. Yeah,
I should have like really dived into this,
right? And it just was not for me. And I went to catechism and the teachers were awful and they were so mean. And like, and I was like, what? Aren't they trying to sell us on this? Like the priests are fucking us. No one is giving us like what the shit that my parents' generation got out of church of like, we made, pancake breakfast and saw the whole community. That shit was gone by the time I could sniff out that a collection plate went around and I never saw poor people get the money. Like, you know, they never handed it to like
so
a lady.
Obligatory. Yeah. It was so obligatory. And then shaking hands with weirdos. Peace be with you. That, I used to like that part of it. But then I'd be like, after a little while, I was like, man, I don't fucking peace out. Like, I don't need this. Shit.
Right.
Like, I remember really liking idea. Like, I like community. I like the idea of community. I just don't like the way they do it, I guess, or never really gathered me. And I didn't know
who was a priest. It's hard to explain. Oh, shit. And that still didn't hit, on you. Yeah.
No, and he was
trying to explain to my mom, like,
pretty disenchanted with it.
who wouldn't be? I tried to explain to my mom,
I'm done with this.
Like, we get our community from other places now. And, like, I don't think there's a more apparent time of where you get your community from. And this is, like, sad and always kind of prevalent in our industry. But, like, when a comic passes away, that's when I feel like I'm part of a community. That's, like, when I feel like this would be, like, in the 1800s if a neighbor passed away. Everyone would have something nice to say. Everyone would mourn the loss of this individual. Yes, we sort of do it in a semi-digital forum now, but...
Everyone does, though. Yeah, like,
it does,
everyone...
It does feel good knowing if you're to pass, a few people would be like, homie was mad funny. Here's a clip.
Yeah,
of him,
like, I loved him. Yeah, yeah.
Right, and that's
there's
something
a lot
that
of those going around.
People are getting from their communities in church, and we get to get that from our fellow comics, fellow artists, which I think is like, and so I try to articulate that to my mom. I'm like, and that's why religion is being lost, because there's no rules to be part of the comedy community except do comedy. And, like, there's a lot of
communities out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of communities out there that isn't like, well, if you're gay, you can't be in this community. If you're like, you know, there are some, there's still plenty, but we're making our own community. Like, that found family shit is, like, so real, and it's for everybody. Like, and so finding that again without religion, and then you're like, Friendsgiving is, like, more fun than seeing your family on Thanksgiving. And I'm 41. I'm 41. I don't want to be at the fucking kids' table. I don't like that drop in status I get when I get home and my mom's like, is that how you're doing your hair for dinner? I'm like, I want to just go with my friends and everything is fun. And it's like, I bring stovetop and everyone's pumped, you know?
Like, also, I'm doing it. Like, also, like, I'm an adult. I have a life. Like, you're going to tell me Uncle Pete shits together? Like, you, like, just because he's a firefighter, like the guy's a fucking alcoholic. Like, you're like, like, you're like, you know, like, I don't, that's the thing. Like, I was talking about this with somebody, like, the worst thing about COVID was everybody lost their communities, you know,
even like when, the like, gym, when, like for a lot of people going to the gym is their
for
community.
For sure. That's one of mine. Like, that's one of the things I like to do and be in, you know, like, and like when they were like, churches are opening back up, and I was like, well, then everything can be open. Like, in my mind, like, I was very, like, I do not think they're more important than what my community is to me. Like, I really don't.
100%. Like, and churches don't have to pay taxes, but my gym does, and my
and also,
comedy
like,
theater
also
does.
Can be argued that
UCB like, pays taxes.
Good public health does more for a community than churches do. In some sense. Right, you could make that argument. Yeah. Yeah.
For sure. If everyone just did 20 minutes a day on an incline treadmill, we'd all be better off than if we did Our Father and Hail Mary.
instead of sitting and kneeling, doing girl push-ups, as I call them when I get in the pew.
I can't wait to try to articulate to my mom. You know, Mom, if instead of going to an hour-long mass on Sundays, you walked for an hour, your life would improve greatly. Like, if you just did 1 hour of steps a week rather than religious. I'm like,
My God. And you know what? And it's everywhere. He is everywhere. So, like, this is, like, I don't think you need to go to a church to get the gospel.
Right. Yeah, fucking really put don't. On a Christian podcast. Get put on a Catholic podcast and go for a hike. That's, like, the most LA religious shit ever.
Oh, God. How awful would it be to be, like, how fucking uptight is your life? You're like, I have to listen to this Catholic podcast.
I could put on anything. Instead of music, I'm putting on a Catholic. I'm putting on mass. I'm listening to trying to get my mom to let us skip church by watching the church channel was such a thing as kids. We'd be like, we'll watch 90 minutes of the church channel. Yeah, we would like beg. Because there was like this one channel that just played like weird masses and shit. And we'd be like, if we watch mass on the church channel, can we skip church? My mom be like, no. It's like, why not? Like, anything to just like watch TV rather than go somewhere is like such a fucking little
and you're like,
thing.
It's and like I grew up in the South, so that shit was on. The televangelist thing was super heavy where I'm from. Like every Sunday,
I could only
like,
imagine
every network, like every local affiliate was littered with church shit, man. It was a fucking beating.
What a fucking
And then
nightmare.
You're just like, God, let us just let us just get to football. Let us just like let's get through this fucking prayer shit and watch the Cowboys game, for God's sake.
Oh, let's get through this. You just reminded me that our Christmas tradition involved going to my dad's family for dessert at the end.
Okay.
So we'd go to we'd host some people and then we'd go to mass. Then we'd host my mom's side of the family, who's like the family we're still connected to. And they're the religious side. They're like the religious side. Religious in that they go to church every Sunday, but no one has love in their heart for their fellow person or anything like that. You know?
Yeah.
Take what you want from Catholicism and leave whatever else you don't need.
It's just the committed working class mentality of the Long Islanders. But
right. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's like, got to go to church on Sundays because that's like how I know I'll go to heaven and I'll
it's
hit
part
the
of my union dues.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. But then we would go to my grandma and grandpa on my dad's side, and I realize in hindsight we'd always be like, all right, no more playing your new video games or new toys, pack up, we're going to Grandma Didi's house. She's the poor alcoholic side of the family, so deal with that. And it would be like, that was like the thing, we just after just surviving mass for an hour, next up was like, all right, we have to spend 2 hours at grandma's house. Dad is going to be so drunk and so angry by the time we leave. We have to and me and my brothers would be plotting of okay, we can bring these two toys with us. This ought to keep us and it was just surviving. Yeah. I remember my brother got Game Boy one.
You're just going over. You're going over for dessert and everything tastes bitter.
Yeah, it's all a problem. Yeah. I remember my littlest brother got Game Boy one year and we just sat on the couch and watched him play Dr. Mario. And it was like, this is our best bet at this point. This is the only way to survive grandma's house. Yeah. As they're upstairs banging down Jägermeister and singing Christmas carols and shit. We're like, we got to get the fuck out of here. Yeah.
I fucking totally get that. The disappointment grandparents feel when their grandkids at some point is banana. They're either the greatest thing ever or the coldest bastard you've ever met in your life. I think my grandfather would look at us when we did something he liked and be so filled with this is my legacy. Right. And then when we didn't do something, he'd just be I can't believe they're my blood.
You would overhear a grandparent say to your parents so frequently. I mean, I don't know if this is true for everyone, but you'd hear my grandpa go Jesus Christ, Joanne, these kids are fucking animals. You know, you'd hear some shit like that. And you'd be like, he's talking about us.
He's 12. When's the baby weight coming off? Shit like that. Maybe every time I see you, don't feed me biscuits.
I make this joke all the time, but I'm from Long Island and growing up in the 80s and 90s, my family thought I was gay because I really liked movies. The way he likes movies is I was just it was too artistic for my family. I liked Jaws, and my parents are Gaylord. what?
Yeah, fucking same. if there was anybody in our grandkid group that was gay, it was that grandfather definitely thought it was me. He's like, because I was like, I want to be a writer someday, and he was just like, yeah.
That's that tall poppy.
You read all the time. yeah. It's just like, what? Am I fucking? The amount of conflict or just contrast my grandparents had. My grandparents on my dad's side were Mexican, right? And they would have they had some Native American, Caccini dolls and some Native American art in the house. But then my grandmother would have these oil paintings of John Wayne up at the same time. And I'd be like, this is I don't know where you're going with it. I guess you just cowboy Western culture. If you're but the amount of conflict of the damage John Wayne did as a cowboy.
To natives. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And just in general, the messaging.
Well, it's my grandma had Jesus and Elvis and Kenny Rogers, paintings of all three of those guys up. And it was I was these guys just carry equal weight. The Roasters guy is up there with the Son of Christ. Or whatever.
It's you're like, how is this? Yeah, this guy made it to your Mount Rushmore.
Inexplicably,
do not get it, man.
My grandma was born and raised on Long Island, but never went to school or anything. She worked on the last farm, and she she was a bit of a like a liar and a complicated individual. She had adopted a Southern accent and a love for Southern music and wrestling, as she called it. She's like, get your ass in the garage. It's time to watch wrestling. And it's like, this woman is from exclusively New York. And she had this like she drove a purple Cadillac, had like my grandfather drove a van that was spray painted camouflage because he was in the army and they thought that was funny. And my grandma drove like a purple Cadillac.
I mean, I will admit, like, that is hilarious.
It is absolutely like, hilarious, but it's like your grandma, you go to your grandma and grandpa's house, there's a purple Cadillac next to like a spray painted van.
There's a little bit
van.
Of stability yeah. lacking. Yeah.
And that goes to show you the kind of family we were. Like, whatever, we're like, you know, white trash rich. It's like, I got $1,000. It's like, buy a Cadillac now. It's like, okay.
Well, yeah, for sure. Oh, man. Like, spending money like that is. I totally get it.
Shane,
yeah.
Talking holidays. Yes, sir. But most important this holiday, I want everyone to gather their family around and check out The Blue-Eyed Mexican on YouTube.
Thanks, pal.
I watched your special.
Produced by Bert Kreischer.
Hell yeah. Shout out to you, Shane. Man, the special is fucking funny. It features, you know, something I always thought that you did well since I started following your comedy is you do like those good, solid chunks that are super funny and tell a full story. But inside are like 12 random jabs that are like within the realm of the joke, but just solid one-liners.
Thank you, man.
That aren't necessarily momentum builders for the bit, but they are just fucking chops of just funny joke, funny six-word joke.
Those are for me. Yeah. Those are for me. Thank you, man.
And me,
yeah.
Dude. Like,
they're for comics for sure.
Yeah, they make me fucking laugh so much. Like, I forget.
Thank you.
I forget
so much,
which
dog.
Chunk it is in, but it's like I can hear you breathe is like a throwaway joke of like the way you sound. Like, I forget what it is, but that made me fucking.
Oh, when
snark.
My ex broke up with me, she told me the way I breathe when I fuck is weird.
Yeah, that made me fucking narf. But tell people a little bit about Blue-Eyed Mexican, where they can watch it, how they can fucking support you on this journey.
Yeah, it's available on YouTube. My channel, as well as Bert Kreischer. Bert Kreischer and his lovely wife, Leanne Kreischer, produced it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Leanne wrote, yeah, she fucking killed it, dude. She was awesome. We shot it at the Sultan Room in Brooklyn. It's been out for about 2 weeks. At the airing of this, it'll probably be, yeah, it came out December 10th. I'm very proud of it, and I went through a lot of hoops. Yeah, I don't often, I think I make good work, but I'm not braggadocious about it. I try not to be, but I think this is a good piece of work. And, you know, there's been some really kind publicity and stuff. Some people have really written some nice things about it, which
feels good. Feels like, getting nice to be seen.
Yeah, yeah. And truly my peers are watching it, which is kind of the most flattering thing. Like,
yeah. To sit down and watch an hour of comedy these days is bananas for someone who's trying to write an hour. Yeah. Man, it you fucking make me laugh so much. Your casual style is like belays how fucking like well written your bits are. And I've always appreciated that about you. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Johnny. I appreciate that.
Dude. Yeah. So people go on YouTube, search Blue Eyed Mexican. It's, believe it or not, the first result. There are not any other blue-eyed Mexicans out SEOing you right now.
Yeah. That's kind of nice.
Yeah, that feels good that there's not like some like weird like La Bamba, like a Richie Valens song by that name that like out SEOs you or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, or it's just like, yeah, or like, yeah. Or just like, slurs from the jazz scene in the 30s. Like,
right. It's just, this weird, fucked up, deleted, racist scene from American History X or whatever.
I saw that movie with my uncle, the priest.
He's like, I don't think this is for me, man.
Yeah. He was like, it was amazing.
I got a lot of good ideas from this. Like, no.
No, Dick. Just go back to England.
Watch it, share it, fucking embed it in your social media. Do, you know, post the clips. Shane, follow Shane on Instagram. He's throwing up some clips. Restory those for your friends to get on the Blue-Eyed Mexican train. The Blue-Eyed Mexican train. It's one of my search terms.
You got to delete that before she gets home tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, shit, right. I got to get this out of there. Shane, always a fucking pleasure catching up with you, man.
Always a blast, man. So nice to see you.
I meant to say this at the beginning, but I always brag about both Shane and Kyle Ayers, two guys I met on the same day at Bonnaroo, had sight unseen agreed to do a power hour on stage with me. And I just was like, hi, I just landed. Our first comedy show is 60 shots of beer or booze between and you and Kyle were so game. I was like, these are fucking good people to have just landed.
That was a good time.
And now you got me into Sturgill
Simpson. Comedy at Bonnaroo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. And it was the last year of comedy. We like sort of set that down the path. Were we at fault? Possibly. Certainly wasn't Janelle James' fault.
Yeah, no. She's doing great. Yeah. I did this before we go tell this. Like, we were at Bonnaroo and the head of the festival was talking to me, like, we're excited to have you. Like, I'm so happy to be here. She goes, I'm not supposed to tell you that it's tonight, but there's a secret Cage the Elephant show. And I was like, cool.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And then I was drunk from Power Hour. And then I had to go on stage. And the first thing I do is like, you guys going to the secret Cage the Elephant show tonight?
And everyone's like, blew up, spread throughout the entire festival.
Oh, ruined everything. God damn it. I held on to doing cool things for as long as I could.
I know. I just blow it all the time. I'm at Gabrus on all social media. Check out Action Boys, my other podcasts, and check out 101 Places to Party Before You Die. Still on Max. I mean, as of this record, who knows what's happening? Maybe Paramount's bought it or whatever. But we still got some episodes out there. Good luck finding them, asshole.
Go get them.
Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy, I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone. People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow, someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to, like, see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane. It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Well, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators.
We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room here.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action Boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it! Come on! Do it now!